Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing this week's SmackDown Live at 347-215-8486. Whoops. Let's just kill that. Don't know how that creeped up. 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to join us on the phones, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Lots to talk about before we get into SmackDown, so let's start with what's probably the biggest news of the week. While I was away, I was able to access the internet and saw that Big Cass had been released. No, we wish him well in his future endeavors from the WWE. And right away, my inbox was flooded with this is why, things ranging from he was drunk in public during the European tour to he refused to do a practice on an interview segment he was going to do, to he wasn't giving his all in the ring, to he got into a verbal argument with Sami Zayn over politics. A million people had a million reasons. So I'm going to debunk a couple of them. The first reason is not because he got into a argument with Sami Zayn over politics. And here's why. Yeah, 95% of the WWE locker room are liberal. That's what I'm told. Doesn't matter whether they're liberal or conservative or whatever, but about 90-95% of them are apparently liberal, and Big Cass was not. Big Cass is a Trump supporter. I guess him and Sami Zayn got into it over something. Here's a newsflash, folks. Linda McMahon works for the Trump administration, and Vince McMahon and Donald Trump are personal friends, so I doubt he would be fired over being a Trump supporter. Would he be unpopular in the locker room? Yeah, that may be among the guys, but the guys better chill. You're getting your paycheck signed by a Trump supporter. So you know what? You all need to learn to eat it. I don't seek my political advice from a guy who pretends to fight. No insult. It's just that's a fact. I don't go to my plumber to see what's wrong with my stomach. And I don't go to my doctor to find out what's wrong with my sink. So I'm not going to a pro wrestler to find out what's wrong with the country, okay? Anyway, that's not the reason. Second reason that I don't think it was is there was an incident apparently on a bus where apparently he got locked in the bathroom, or he thought someone locked him in the bathroom as a prank. Apparently that's not the case. The door just jammed. I guess he has claustrophobia, and he kicked the door down, which meant that everybody who had to go to the bathroom on that bus for the rest of that trip had to do it with the door open because there was no door. Now, the drunken public thing, I don't know. I can't prove. I've heard from a few sources that is a fact. But I'll tell you this. It all boils down to they had no plans for him. Because if you want me to tell you the amount of wrestlers who I personally witnessed and spoke to who were drunk in public, I'd have to make this a 7-hour show. So that's certainly not the only reason. Now, refusing to do a practice run for a interview segment, that's a pretty good reason. I don't know why you'd refuse to do it. You'd think you'd need all the help you could get. And there has been a report that Vince McMahon actually fired the writer who wrote the segment for Big Cass because he said it was horrible. So if you fired the writer, I don't know if you can blame Big Cass. I mean, he's delivering the lines you gave him. But what it probably boils down to is this. Way back when Cass went off script on the midget after being told absolutely do not continue beating him after the kick, and he did it anyway. He had one foot on a banana peel and the other in the grave, as they say. Endear himself to anybody else backstage after that. Now, is this a mistake? You bet your life it's a mistake. You bet your life it's a mistake. And I don't care if you say Cass wasn't all that good and he wasn't. This is a guy who was kind of green and 90% of his matches were tag team matches where he only got the hot tag. For a guy who was new to doing this solo thing, he was coming along pretty well. And he had some potential. But if you're in a locker room filled with guys who don't like you because you voted for the wrong person, or you're drunk in public and causing a disturbance, or you have claustrophobia and you kick in the door of a bathroom on a bus that apparently somehow you got locked into, or Sami Zayn, you know, I don't want to get into politics here, but if Sami Zayn seriously got into an argument over with Big Cass over the way Muslims are treated in the United States of America, spare me, Sami Zayn. You're the coward that wouldn't even walk out when you couldn't go to Saudi Arabia. If you're that concerned about how your people are treated, how about you say, I'm going, and if I'm not going, I'm walking from this company. I'll tell you why. Because you won't put your money where your mouth is. And that's all I'm going to say about the political end of it. But spare me that crap. So Big Cass is gone. Enzo Amore apparently doesn't like Big Cass either. I didn't know that until Enzo tweeted all kinds of stuff about Cass, you know, didn't care for him. So whatever. Enzo doesn't care for anybody either. I'm starting to get a little bit annoyed with these egotistical, ridiculous, overhyped, stupid professional wrestlers who think that they are somehow better than everybody else in the world. A lot of you guys are going to crash into reality real soon. A lot of you are. Anyway, second order of business, Charlotte Flair is finally having some surgery for that ruptured implant that she has. She's been working with it for a long time. And she will be out till probably SummerSlam. So don't expect to see Charlotte Flair. Well, you might see her, actually. I mean, she could do interviews and things. Maybe they'll do that. But she's not going to be in the ring at SummerSlam, which isn't a long way away. And the third order of business is Sami Zayn, who we just yelled at, is out until... You know, it's funny how things work, isn't it? You know, he's out for the rest of 2018, having surgery. So he'll miss, he said, you know, he's hoping he'll be back for WrestleMania, where I guess he can get squashed by Bobby Lashley again. I don't know what his plans would be for WrestleMania. Maybe he'll be in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and be thrown out second. If I seem a little edgy, you know, I just come back from the road. And I get all this crapola about these wrestlers. And people are writing me back and forth. And even some wrestlers are writing me back and forth. And I'm saying to myself, can you guys just calm down? Can we all calm down? You're very lucky to be doing what you're doing for a living. And yes, you work hard to do it. And yes, you have talent. That talent does not give you any right to stop somebody else from doing what they do, make somebody else think the way you think, or make other people do as you do. That talent gives you a right to be a professional wrestler, which very few people on this planet can make a living, solo living, doing. So I don't care if one guy's got claustrophobia and kicks in a bus door. How about Randy Orton, who craps in women's gym bags and, puts crap in other people's food, but he's all right. See, the WWE is quick becoming a fraud of what it used to be. It used to be an entertainment company who took its fan base and its wrestling and its wrestlers very serious. And then something horrible happened, and they let the inmates run the asylum, and they all think that they are all their own boss. They all think they are the chosen. We are the special people. I am irreplaceable. Nobody's irreplaceable. Did the WWE fall apart when Dean Ambrose has been out forever? No. Did the WWE fall apart when Jason Jordan's out? No. Neville left. Did it fall apart? No. Enzo left. Did it fall apart? No. It's not going to fall apart, folks. And a lot of these people got to get over themselves. It's just as simple as that. So if I'm a little edgy today, that's why. I just think that there's a promoting attitude here now suddenly that the WWE is obligated in some way, shape, or form to kiss everybody's ass that works for them. And I don't know any other line of work. Certainly not most of the main work that people who listen to this show do, where their bosses spend their whole entire time kissing their ass because they're so lucky to have them. I think it's the reverse. Anyway, Mike, that's the news of the day. What do you think?
Well, you know, I could take it as, and leave it, some of that, most of that stuff. And look, Big Cass, you know, he could turn out to be another Matt Morgan type, you know. Matt Morgan got cut by the WWE, and he goes over to TNA or Impact or whatever and has a decent career there. Now, a couple positive things came out of this week. One, Charlotte gets into the body issue, the ESPN body issue, the same body issue that a Sexy Star got in last year. I know this is a SmackDown show, but did you catch what happened on Lucha Underground? Jack Swagger,
yes.
First time on Lucha Underground, and he looked incredible.
Yeah, because he is a good wrestler, and he's always been a good wrestler. The WWE just had nothing for him because probably he was also unpopular backstage. Who cares about backstage? You know, here's the thing. If I ran this, if I was one of the employees of Vince McMahon and I was in charge of running this dressing room, you'd either have no wrestlers there and I'd be fired, or they'd be in line, because I'd tell them, I don't care what your opinions are about music, food, politics, religion, or anything else. You're here to wrestle. The first time either person, any person, gets into a fight over any of those stupid subjects, you're suspended without pay. You talk about your matches, you talk about the weather, you talk about a TV show. I don't give a damn about the rest of it. We're not going to have these little petty nonsense junior high school, my dad's tougher than your dad pissing contests, because it costs people their careers, it costs people their livelihoods, it costs fans performances, and I, for one, am getting tired of it, Sabretooth.
Right, and what it all boils down to, Mark, is one word, professionalism. That's what it boils down to, and like you said, that the inmates are running to the asylum, you know, and it can't be like that. I mean, like you said, these guys are doing that. They have a job after, I wish I was a professional wrestler. I mean, I wish I could be a superstar like that, man. These guys, if they don't realize how lucky they are to be doing this, you know, like you said, it's like that their egos catch you know, it's like their egos get to them, man. It's crazy to me.
It's weird, and I'll tell you, what put me in an even worse mood, I heard a Simon Gotch interview today where he basically says everyone in the world sucks except him. Everybody's stupid. Everybody believes everything that they read in the papers, but not him. He's a genius, except here's the deal. He don't know how to throw a guy out of a ring, and he has about as much charisma as a sponge. But he can tell the world how they should run their – I'm just tired of it. There is a very, very, very promoting attitude lately amongst – many of the top wrestlers that they somehow are, it's almost like Hollywood where everybody, we're above everybody. You better come back down to earth, because you're going to lose fans. Anyway, let's get to SmackDown. We start out with Carmella coming into the ring and You know, I'm woefully disappointed, and I'll tell you why I'm disappointed. Because Alexa Bliss, I just got finished getting all over Alexa Bliss for pulling the same stunt twice, saying, I want all the little boys and girls to understand how hard, and then, ha, 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 you can never be like me, I'm only kidding. You've done it three times, Alexa. Nobody's falling for it. So then Carmella says, well, maybe I'll do it. Maybe they'll fall for it if I do it. We've got one Alexa Bliss. Find your own shtick. Thankfully, James Ellsworth comes out dressed as Asuka and kind of saves the day by getting the fans all stirred up, saying she's better than Trish Stratus, she's better than Lita, she's better than Mother Teresa, apparently, and Beyonce, which was funny. And again, this is why I'm saying, for the money that you pay a guy like Ellsworth, and I don't know what his contract is, but I promise you, it's bare minimum. For the money you pay him, you get way more than your money's worth. Because without Ellsworth in that segment, no segment. A half-hearted, maybe, I don't know, maybe she's upset that Cass was fired. I know that it's not her boyfriend anymore, but they were still close. Maybe she's upset about it. I don't know. But it was just an awful segment, and I'm sure it was written for her, and it's just dumb. It's just echoing what Alexa Bliss did. But then Ellsworth gets in, kind of saves the day. Asuka comes out, gives Ellsworth a kick. Which I got to tell you, I really like James Ellsworth a lot because I think he gets it in on a different level than some people. Ellsworth gets hit with a kick, and he doesn't collapse in a ball and start throwing up his guts. He just kind of bends over like that really hurt because he's supposed to be an athlete too. And he's supposed to be a guy, and you know, Asuka's supposed to be a tough kicker, but I don't know if, you know, she's going to knock down Braun Strowman with one. Ellsworth maybe double over. I think he sold it perfectly. And then give Asuka credit. She sold Carmella's super kick like $1 million. So while it started out poorly, very poorly, and I was very disappointed in Carmella, who I'm sure she didn't write that segment, but still, I think it was saved by Ellsworth to a certain extent, Todd, and it ended okay.
You're absolutely right there. Well, like you said, it's where Carmella tried to do the same thing with Alexa Bliss did like a month and a half ago. At least Ellsworth,
a month and a half ago,
out,
she did it last week.
Saved it. At least Ellsworth saved it at the end.
Yeah, I mean, if it had been a month and a half ago, I probably wouldn't have said nothing, but it was on Raw this week. So literally one day. You know, that's not good, Mike. I mean, I think you got to try to come up with something a little more original.
But then again, can you fall? I mean, she did it, but she's only doing what they write for her. If they're not creative enough to come up with something different, they get to the point where Ellsworth comes out and he gets super kicked and he gets kicked and she super to set up that whole series of events with him getting kicked and her super kicking Asuka to get to that point. If they can't come up with something more creative than that, then I mean, I blame her because the first part of it, you're right, her heart probably wasn't in it, you know. And you gotta give these guys something that they're and gals something their heart's gonna be in. And for what you just said, what's her name just did this the night before?
Alexa Bliss, yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. The night before, Sabretooth, do they watch? Do SmackDown writers watch Raw?
I have no idea, man, but whoever wrote that segment, yeah, they need their ass beat because she should have came out there being just as nasty, bragging. I mean, that crowd should have been ready to tear her apart by the time Ellsworth came out there of Asuka, who did a pretty good job as Asuka, by the way, coming out there with all like a swing and gesture. I mean,
yeah.
I thought it was Asuka, you know. He did a good job on that. You know, she should have came out being just as nasty, bragging, just rubbing our noses in it. You know, that's how it should have been.
And Asuka did a pretty good job of not doing her normal smiling and just came out pissed off, which was good. So it ended good, but it started poorly. we get the Iconics, who apparently what the Iconics job is in the WWE and SmackDown specifically is to come out, be annoying, imitate the girl they're going to fight, and then get their ass kicked, because that's what they do every single week. It's no longer even in question that they're going to lose. You know they're going to lose before they start the match. Now, on the other hand, what you got to understand about Becky Lynch is win, lose, or draw, that girl is popular. She's not my favorite, but there is something about Becky Lynch that definitely connects with the fans, and the fans were 100% behind Becky Lynch. And I'm not sure why the WWE doesn't take advantage of that. They're kind of downplaying her. I mean, maybe this is a start of something, but I was really surprised at how many Becky Lynch supporters there was, considering she's done nothing at all, Mike, for quite a long period of time.
You know, and especially what happened later when she's backstage and she's looking at whatever goggles or whatever, and they're going, well, she's trying to make a decision on what goggles she's going to wear. I mean, you don't do that to a woman who you don't have any plans for her. I don't know what plans they're going to have for her, but obviously you're right on her. I mean, it doesn't matter. They're going to cheer Becky Lynch. It doesn't matter. And she's going to be one of these women that if they wanted to turn her, it's going to be incredibly hard to turn her.
Yeah, I wouldn't even consider it. I'd just give her a push. I mean, the fans like her, and like I said, she's not – I don't dislike her. She's not one of my top three or four. I don't dislike her, but, man, the fans are really into her, Sabretooth.
I think what it is because, like, I mean, she's a very pretty girl. Except, like, I think like her because, like, she's a pretty girl, but at the same time, she's that hometown girl. I mean, she doesn't play up on her good looks. I mean, she's known as the last kicker, as a rough and tumble fighter, you know. And last night with the whole match last night, they missed an opportunity because I felt like they were gonna like start like a storyline between her and the Iconics because they should not have lost that match. Like you said, if they come out there with that good gimmick of imitating their opponents, but they end up losing. It shouldn't have been like that. I mean, if the Iconics would have won that match via cheating, it wouldn't have made Becky Lynch look bad because they cheated. I mean, they should have won that match last night over Becky via cheating and started a storyline up on that.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to do anything with the Iconics if you're already predisposed to the fact that they're going to lose. But, hey, we'll see what they do with Becky Lynch. I mean, with Charlotte out for a month or so, they're going to have to rely a little bit more on her maybe in the ring. So we'll see. Maybe she can, convince them to give her yet one more push. We then get to the bludgeon. Well, I should talk a little bit about the Jeff Hardy thing because while I never was a fan, I'm going to be very honest with you. I like Jeff Hardy, but I was never a fan of his dark, I'm going to put on makeup or Willow or any of those other things he did. I was never a fan of any of that. But there was something very appealing about his interview and knowing that that's what's next for Shinsuke Nakamura. And I thought Shinsuke Nakamura did an awesome job of retaliating to that interview, saying if his eyes are open now, I can close them. I'm actually looking forward to this feud. And for the benefit of people who were questioning why did AJ Styles even win, I think the video game has a lot to do with it. They knew he was going to be on the cover of that video game, and you don't make that guy your ex-champion before it comes out. So I think that did have something to do with it. I think down the line somewhere, Nakamura, if he stays in the WWE, will be the champion. He may be. He may take it from Jeff Hardy. I can't imagine him losing. And that would be interesting. But I am looking forward to this feud, Mike. I think it'll make for good matches.
And look, the way Jeff Hardy has his face painted, it kind of smacks of this what kind of a Oriental type thing, you know, an Oriental type look to his face, which is a kind of a kind of what they're aiming for with Asuka, but they're doing it with Jeff Hardy. Now, I do agree with you. I didn't care for Willow. It's just the whole Creatures of the Night thing I like, but when he put on the paint and Impact, it didn't do nothing for me. So I don't know what's changed, but I'm kind of digging his painted face, you know?
It could work just because it's different now and his opponent. I mean, I think his opponent maybe is what makes it different. Shinsuke Nakamura versus this newly whatever Jeff Hardy, newly awakened, if that's what you want to say, Jeff Hardy. And I don't know, Sabretooth, these could be good matches.
Oh, they are going to be. I mean, because the match they had last week was good. And it was genius to have it end that way because it didn't end on a different note. Nakamura cheated to end that match. So, I mean, it was such a good match that, yes, we're looking forward to more matches between these guys. Yeah, I mean, and also, like you said, he's not facing the same Jeff Hardy now. He's facing, like, a different Jeff Hardy who's out for vengeance, basically. You know, so we're going
to
get,
dynamic. I'd like to see him go more than one match, Todd. I'd like to see this be, like, maybe a 2 or 3 match series between Hardy and Nakamura.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, it's going to be a good feud. I'd like to see that feud with Nakamura and Jeff Hardy there for over that U.S. belt, and you never know what's going to happen.
I think Nakamura could very well take this. I really do. Now let's get to the second half of the show, which was basically the gauntlet match. Now, the gauntlet match involves Daniel Bryan, Big E, not sure why Big E, but okay. Daniel Bryan, Big E, Samoa Joe, The Miz, and Rusev. You know what? We skipped one. I almost intentionally skipped it because I have no idea why the Bludgeon Brothers fought the Good Brothers again. I don't know why they did it. They lost. How many title shots do you get? I don't understand that. I don't like that new thing with the WWE. We lost, you get another shot. You lost again, you get another shot. You lost again, you get another shot. How many shots? Used to be you lost, you got to work your way back down to the bottom. From the bottom. But once again, they lose. So this was a pointless match, and if you don't believe me that the Bludgeon Brothers have lost their heat, did you hear the crowd? Nothing. Nothing. They've lost their heat, and the WWE caused that. 100% caused it. So we'll talk about this and sanity in the same breath. While the Bludgeon Brothers are losing their heat through no fault of their own, they're trying to build up sanity. And they're going to try to do it off the backs of the Usos, who's probably the best tag team going right now. And the minute they said, we're going to have a match with sanity, I'm like, this is actually insanity. Because if they steamroll over the Usos, you've lost another great tag team credibility. And if they don't steamroll over the Usos, they've had a pretty poor debut. Well, it actually just turns into a back-jumping brawl where they just beat down the Usos, and I've seen a lot better introductions into a federation. I don't think they fleshed out who they were, what they were about, who the leaders are, what the strengths and weaknesses of everybody is. They just launched them and said, just go do this. Thought it was pretty ill-advised. I don't think it made them look that great. I don't think it made the Usos look that great. And unless they really try to repackage sanity a little bit and get things moving, and this was just like a little taste, I think they handled it completely wrong, Sabretooth.
Yeah, they could have like done like a few more promos before they introduced these guys. Like you said, give us like an idea of who they are. A lot of fans haven't seen these guys before. And I don't know what it is, like they act like we've seen these guys on in other federations before they came here. Not all fans have seen these guys. They don't know who they are. So like a few more promos would have helped. We'll introduce them.
And why start with the Usos? Why don't you just beat up the fashion police or something? To me, that doesn't make any sense because you're already launching them against the top tag team you have. So if they win, you've just knocked down the Usos. Whereas if you build them up gradually, that would have been a lot wiser, in my opinion, Mike.
Right, and that's the thing. One other thing about these guys, they don't, in my mind, they don't work without Nikki Cross. That's what's missing for me. Nikki, would have been a fun feud if she was there. Nikki Cross and the rest of Sanity versus the Usos and Naomi. That would have
right.
been fun, you know. But
a lot of fun.
They chose not to. Obviously, they want Nikki Cross down there to go after the title a couple times, the NXT title a couple times, probably before they do bring her up. But they should have brought her up in the first place, you know, because like I said, that group does not work without her, in my mind.
Yeah, and I'd much rather just had Sanity debut in the ring, do a really short match with like the blood with the Fashion Police or something, and then grab the mic and kind of do their shtick. To just attack the Usos, I don't know. It fell flat for me, Todd. It really did. I don't think we got Todd there. But anyway, bottom line of the situation is I've seen better debuts by tag teams, and I just honestly do not think that it helped Sanity at all with the crowd. Speaking of which, does anybody know where Almas is? Almas debuted and I don't think I've seen him in 2 weeks. Where the hell's Almas? It's weird how it's just a weird thing. So let's get to the gauntlet match because that's the important match here on this show. Daniel Bryan starts out because, of course, he's the underdog, and the perpetual idea is can he make his way through the gauntlet? That's perfectly fine. Now, I've heard people describe this match as perfectly booked. Here's why it's not perfectly booked. I don't know why Daniel Bryan has to come down when the Bludgeon Brothers are coming back and they have to give him a dirty look. He is not in the tag team division. He has no tag team partner. They have nothing to do with him. It's a worthless angle. But yet it plays into the story later on. Him and Big E have a pretty good match. And he pins Big E. That brings down Samoa Joe. Now, I think he had too good of a match with Big E because the problem is if Big E took him to that kind of limit, then what you're kind of saying is a fresh Samoa Joe is only equal to or a little less equal than a very worn out Daniel Bryan. And that should never be the case. But at least how they let him win was clever. Where he really doesn't pin Samoa Joe, he just gets in the ring before the 10 count and Joe's forced to leave. So that's clever in itself. But again, the theme of that was Joe couldn't polish off a guy who's been beaten on for 18 minutes, you know, or 10 minutes, 12 minutes. So again, that's not the greatest. But then what happens is inexplicable. The Bludgeon Brothers come in and just start beating his ass. Why? Why? Because he looked at him? Because he's a threat to their tag team title? There's no reason for it. Would it have not been better if Samoa Joe, out of anger, grabbed a chair, was very careful with it, obviously, grabbed a chair and waylaid. What's he going to do? Get disqualified? He's already lost. Grabs a chair, waylays Daniel Bryan, puts him in the clutch, puts him out like a light, and then the Miz's music hits. Because then you get the heat on the right guy. You get the heat on Joe. The Bludgeon Brothers, who are already out of heat, are not going to get any more heat from beating up Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan's not a tag team guy. Joe would have had a lot of heat had he been the one to put down Daniel Bryan for the Miz. Miz comes in, piece of cake, picks the bones, and that leaves him and Rusev, who have a really good match, and Rusev ends up winning, and that's probably the right person to win. I didn't care at that point who won because I thought the Miz versus Styles would be great, And I think Rusev versus Styles would be great. The only problem I have is I think you're going to be 50-50 with Rusev and Styles. I don't think you'd have been anywhere near 50-50 with Styles and The Miz. But that's okay. And then something very funny happens. Rusev shakes hands with AJ Styles, who comes out. And when Aiden English goes to do it, he kind of disses him. AJ Styles knocks him down. And Rusev kind of admonishes Aiden English, like, what are you doing? Well, you know, why are you acting like a jerk? Which is, it's odd. Because this is the only real dissension they've ever really shown. And it makes me feel like they're trying to put all the heat for being the bad guy on Aiden English now, which is weird. And if I were a betting man, which I sometimes am, I would think that maybe they're heading toward Aiden English is going to cost Rusev the match, stream rules, and prove Lana right and go out on his own maybe and have a feud with Rusev or something. I hope that don't happen because I kind of like the whole tandem together. But I got to tell you that that's where it feels like a little bit to me, Sabretooth. What do you think of the match in general?
My favorite part of the match was the whole my favorite match of the whole thing was the Big E and Daniel Bryan match. That was so logical. I mean, like, Big E got 90% of the offense in that match, and Daniel Bryan had to squeak by to get the win. So that was pretty logical. I love that match. But also the Miz. The Miz being the Miz that healed me. I mean, the Miz was so on point last night with what he did last night. I mean, came in on Daniel Bryan, got the struggle finale, threw him out of the ring like he was a piece of shit, talking trash to him. I mean, when the Miz is being that, that's the Miz I want. I mean, cause I was hating him. I was hating that character last night. And then when Rusev comes down, I'm like, Rusev's going to kick this bastard's ass, just like the first real heel that Rusev was ever faced. I mean, like, he been facing, like you said, so far, his matches go through like 50-50. He's like facing faces. This was like his first real heel match, facing the real heel, and I loved it.
That's very true, and it's a good point that, you know, Rusev is obviously being brought up now to be the face. Because they had to book it that way. I mean, they could have booked it any way they wanted, and they booked it to be Rusev versus The Miz at the end. The only thing I really had against this match was I really do wish they had let Samoa Joe be the guy that polished off Daniel Bryan for The Miz instead of the Bludgeon Brothers, Mike, because I don't know what you're going to get out of it with the Bludgeon Brothers.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to get out of it with them either, and that's the thing. Now, I do wish, like you said, Joe's a true professional. You tell him, we're going to put a chair in your hand and you're going to waylay, you're going to, you know, hit him over the back or whatever and get a couple, 2, 3, 4 more licks in him, on him and then leave. You know, he's professional enough to know, you know, I can't hit him in the head. I can't do any of that type of thing. So, you know, he would have been a professional enough to get that job done and do what he had to do and go. So, like you said, it doesn't make sense. Now, the match in and of itself, I like it. I think I know why they did it this way. Because remember, they're going through each one of these guys in the New Day, teasing pushes for them. That the ladder match with Kofi was a tease for a singles push with him. He did real well. This match with this gauntlet match with Big E is a tease for a push with Big E. Now, what's the next one gonna be? Is the next one gonna be a tease for a push with Xavier? We gotta see. That's the way I feel on that. But yeah, this is, you know, Maybe we question why Lana was being a bitch when she first came back. Maybe that was a setup for this, you know?
I mean, it's possible. I just think the fans want to see all three for a while at least. Could you run this, you know, 6 months and then do that? Do we have to have it immediately? That's my only two gripes with the gauntlet match. the right person won. There was a good story told. Let me just say again, and I'm not, I know I've gotten mail that says, oh, you kiss the New Day's ass all the time. Yeah, well, here's why. Collectively, they're entertaining. Individually, they're entertaining. Collectively, no matter which two out of three of them are in a tag team match or all three, they're sensational. By themselves, they're excellent. I'm not sure what there's not to like if you like pro wrestling. So, yeah, if it sounds like I'm kissing the Big E match, well, I got news. Big E put on a great match with Daniel Bryan. And it just goes to show that these guys, even individually, could really be something. Can't say about every tag team. You really can't. I mean, I love the Usos, but they're tag team specialists. I don't see the Usos individually being big. Their worth is, man, are they good together? Because they just read each other like a book, and they got these double team moves that are sensational, and they got their whole shtick down, and, you know, they move like they're one person, like they got one brain. And the New Day do too, but then individually, they can get it done too. And they all have that unique form of charisma where they're different than each other. Kofi is not like Xavier. Xavier's not like Big E. They're different. So they have their own personality and charisma too. So, yeah, I think they could do this very well. They could, as long as they keep them as a group, and once in a while they tag team, they could all three of them be solo, and that'd be fine with me. But I still say, Sabretooth, the guy that should have got the heat for polishing off Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, who loses his temper after he's counted out, almost tricked, really, and counted out. Even if he didn't want to use the chair, just put him in the coquina clutch, put him to sleep, and then the Miz's music hits when literally Daniel Bryan's... Can you imagine if he had to pick Daniel Bryan up off the mat because he was already unconscious and gave him the skull-crushing finale to an unconscious Daniel Bryan before throwing him out? That would have given him even more heat.
Right. And also, when the whole Bludgeon Brothers thing, Daniel Bryan came out, my first thought was, like, remember, a couple of years ago, he was a member of the Wyatt family. So I didn't know whether or not, like, they were, like, trying to, like, throw back to that time. You know, like, back to that time, he was a member of the Wyatt family. Because, you know, yep. So I didn't know if they were trying to harken back to that or not. I mean, but it crossed my mind, though.
I mean, if Kane wasn't on the other show, I'd almost think to myself, gee, are they going to try to get a reunion of Team Hell No versus the Bludgeon Brothers, which would be kind of interesting. I might buy into that if they could do that, but, I don't think they're going to do that. Kane's on the other show, and he's pretty much semi-retired, I guess, Mike.
Yeah, I would love to see that. Obviously, and it's getting to the where it's election season, and he's still trying to get elected and all that stuff. So, and he's not going to be around all that much long. He's like Rhino. Rhino's not going to be around all that much longer. And
so, if that's not what they got in mind, I don't know why they gave the heat to the Bludgeon Brothers. Makes no sense. Who are they going to fight? Sanity, who's obviously bad guys too? That doesn't make any... I don't know. I just didn't like that. The right person won. There were some great moments in the matches and all that. I just didn't like that one particular spot. Aside from that, we should mention that Leon White, Vader, passed away. I think he was 65 or... four. I'm not sure how old he was. And for me, this is, I was really shocked, and I'll tell you why. 2 years ago, at an event called Wrestling Under the Stars, I sit and watched Vader, who I watched the year before that at Wrestling Under the Stars, not look very well. Got in the ring and pretty much did nothing. And I said, wow, I know he's old, but wow. I mean, that's getting toward the end when you can't do anything more than that. But then, 2 years ago, the year after that, he was great. And I remember saying to the people I was with, geez, that looks like the old Vader. He really got himself in shape. He's look, you know, that was good. He did a good job. And I guess perhaps when it comes to health matters, I'm woefully naive, but I didn't think a man that old died of pneumonia. I knew that if you were elderly, pneumonia was very serious, but I didn't necessarily think in this day and age, in your early 60s, you're going to die of pneumonia. And I know he had a weak heart. That was part of the problem. His heart couldn't really take the pneumonia like other people's. But I will tell you this about Vader. He was one of the first big men to be that agile. And there's going to be a lot of people saying a lot of crap about Vader, that he was overhyped and blah, blah, blah. But I'm here to tell you that Vader did some things in that ring that big men didn't do at that time. Just didn't do them. And whether or not he was the greatest wrestler in the world, and whether or not people like Shawn Michaels and other people say they had to drag good matches out of him, the bottom line is they did drag good matches out of him, and it does take two. And I watched many a good Vader matches and was very, very impressed with his athleticism and his ability to get over and just his intimidating figure that he was. And I really think that he's going to be one of these guys that get underrated somewhat in the annals of wrestling history. He's going to be, well, Vader, yeah, was great, but they're not going to put him in the same breath as some people they probably should. And Mick Foley is absolutely right when he says he begged the WWE to put him in last year, the Hall of Fame. Because he said his health is failing. It would really be great if he was here to enjoy it. And the WWE didn't do it. I'm sure now they will. But I, for the life of me, I don't understand why the WWE fights so hard against the obvious. If someone like Mick Foley tells you the guy's health is failing, we don't know how much longer we're really going to have him around. Could we maybe get this? You're going to put him in there anyway, and you know you're going to. Could we get it done when he can enjoy it? I don't really know why. The answer is no. And then you live to regret these things, don't you? So I'm kind of sad about this because despite the fact that, you know, I didn't see him a ton, I really enjoyed Vader, Sabretooth.
Yeah, man, he's my favorite big man of worker, man. I mean, like, he's my favorite big wrestler, man. Like you said, he was agile, went to the rope, you know, went to the top rope, flipped. And I mean, and his whole persona with that headpiece he come out with, he like put it on the ground and make the smoke come out of it. That whole his whole gimmick, that whole, I mean, he was larger than life, man.
Yep.
And yeah, I'm sad at his passing, man. But yeah, he had a plenty of good matches, man. And speaking of Mick Foley, it was one of my favorite matches when he fought Mick Foley and he ripped his ear off. Remember that?
He had
a couple between the ropes and ripped his ear off? Wow. Yeah, he had a reputation for being a stiff worker, though. But he was good at what he did. He was the best big man.
And I got to tell you that as a kid, not a little kid, but as a kid watching Vader, he was a guy that supposedly backstage, he wasn't really a tough, tough guy, and he was a soft-spoken guy, and he wasn't a brawler or anything. But this was a guy that when he came out and did his shtick, the very first thing you would think of is, I would not want to fight that man. I absolutely would not want to fight that man. And because he could pull that off so well, Mike, every time he came out, you felt like it was an uphill battle for whoever he was going to fight.
Right. You know, before him, here's the demarcation line. Before him, there was King Kong Bundy, One Man Gang, Big Bubba Rogers, you know, those type of guy, or Big Boss Man, if you want to call him that. But then Vader comes along, and he's doing backflips and moonsaults and at 300 pounds. We talk about how big he can move at 290 pounds, or how Rusev can move at 280 pounds, you know, but Vader was the original guy, You know, Vader was a guy that you look at him, you would expect him to be a King Kong Bundy. You know, a guy, yeah, King Kong Bundy could move, but not like Vader. You know,
No, and I'll tell you something. Both King Kong Bundy and the One Man Gang, not so much Big Bubba Rogers, because he also had that persona that he wouldn't want to be a guy you get into a fight with, but King Kong Bundy and the One Man Gang never really broke that persona of I'm mean. You always took a look at them and said, they don't really look that mean. They're big guys, but they don't necessarily look like they're mean. Vader looked like he was mean. Vader looked like one of those guys that if you were in a bar, you didn't want to get. And again, to his credit, a lot of people said, no, he's exactly the opposite. But when he got into that mode, he was one of those guys, Sabretooth, that I would watch on TV and say, yeah, I would not want to fight that man.
Right. Like I said, man, I mean, when he came out, man, wearing it, I mean, wearing that headpiece with the horns, hoses and stuff on it. I mean, he was intimidating when he came out. I mean, so his gimmick was, he was larger than life, man. He didn't want to fight, yeah, like you said, he was intimidating and he didn't want to meet this guy. He just didn't. And you know,
it's a shame too, because again, you know, he wasn't going to wrestle much more. Obviously, once in a while he did indie shows or anything, but I had the opportunity to meet him at some of the autograph signings. He was a nice guy, and he wasn't full of himself either. He really wasn't. You know, we started the show talking about guys who are getting full of themselves, and this is like a relatively, yes, there were guys in the 80s and 90s, I'm sure, that were, but I think there were less of them, because when you meet these guys, they don't come off that way. I've met all of those guys. I've met Roddy Piper. I've met Vader. I've met Mick Foley. I've met all of these guys, and they don't come off as being guys with a big chip on their shoulder who think they're great. I've met some of the newer guys, and some of them do come off with that attitude, like, how you're lucky to meet me. And it's a shame that we've changed in society, the way we view things like. But Vader will be missed. Definitely be missed. And in my opinion, should have already been in the WWE Hall of Fame. And of course, Sabretooth brings up Bam Bam, who's passed as well. Bam Bam, again, was very agile too. He was another guy that kind of looked like you didn't want to fight him. But Bam Bam, who I did meet, was sometimes not a nice guy. Vader always was. Anyway, let's rate this show. It's really a tale of two shows. The first, kind of a nothing burger, really. Nothing really happened. Becky Lynch beats Billie Kay, and the Iconics lose again. We have the Bludgeon Brothers and the Good Brothers again, for no real reason that I can think of. And we have that interview segment with Ellsworth, and we have the thing with Hardy and Nakamura, and I wasn't thrilled with the first hour. The second hour, I love these gauntlet matches because it's solid action. And I like them. I like the one they had on Raw. I like this one. I do think there were a couple of things that could have been done better, but overall, they got to what they wanted. They made Daniel Bryan look like a very, very credible guy who almost went through three people. And may have. They made The Miz look like the heel he's supposed to be. They made Rusev look like the hero he is trying to be. The misstep was the Bludgeon Brothers instead of Samoa Joe, who ended that match getting no heat. If the gauntlet match did nothing for a person, it did nothing. It did something for Big E. We now see he is a qualified solo wrestler, and he's good at what he does. It did something for The Miz. It made his character look sneaky and conniving and underhanded and mean. It did something for Rusev. It made him look like the heroic whatever he's supposed to be. It did something for Daniel Bryan. It made him look like he could have possibly ran this gauntlet. It did nothing for Samoa Joe. He got outsmarted and walked away. That was the mistake. Had Joe taken out Brian, then we have a perfect gauntlet match. But still, overall, I think my grade is going to be pretty high because I like the concept of it, and I think they pulled most everything they pulled was on point. Just some of the matches were head scratchers. I'm going to give it a B minus. Had they done the thing with Samoa Joe, it would have been a B plus. Had they let the Iconics start a program with Becky Lynch that I'm interested in, it would have been an A minus. And had Carmella not pulled that stunt that was the same thing as Alexa Bliss and really came out and been Carmella, this could have been an A plus. Mike, what's your rating?
I agree with you, B minus. And look, the whole Carmella thing, had they been more creative, it would have been better. Had they did what they, what you said with the Iconics, it would have been even better. You know, it might have went from a B minus to an A minus.
Yeah, I mean, it was way better than Raw. Let's put it that way. Sabretooth, what's your rating on this week's show?
Pretty good show, solid show. A couple of missteps, but there wasn't anything that I would call a turd in the punch bowl. Or, you know, none of the missteps ruined the show for me. Pluses was the whole introduction of the Nakamura-Jeff Hardy feud. I'm glad they didn't rush it and have them have a match that night, you know, like they usually do. They're not rushing it. They're building up, so that's good. And the highlight for me was the Miz. I got the Miz I wanted. The truly son of a bitch heel Miz. I mean, like I said, like when Rusev came out, I hope he ripped his head off. So yeah, a pretty solid show, B plus.
So there you go. I mean, we all agree it's right around the B area. It was a pretty good SmackDown. Now we'll see if Raw can, you know, capitalize on it. Raw lately has just been a drag. Again, a lot of their characters just aren't as fleshed out as SmackDown's characters, and I'm not as invested in those characters. But I will say this, SmackDown better watch it, because they've already lost the Bludgeon Brothers heat. They've probably lost Sanity's big impact that they could have had. They've probably lost that. They might get it back. They better watch that they don't lose Carmella's impact. And I got to tell you that you're hurting the Bludgeon Brothers. Their heat's almost gone. And where's Almas? You debut him and then nothing happens. So you got to watch that. There's some things on SmackDown I'm concerned about, but this one wasn't a bad one. Todd, we got you back. What's your rating?
Huh? I had to take care of personal business first.
What was your rating?
Whatever you had for a rating.
Well, I don't want that answer. What's your rating?
I'm going to give it like a C.
C's not bad. I gave it a little better. I gave it a B minus. I think a C's a little strict. I think they did a little better than that this time. I'm going to give them credit for at least trying something unique. I like the idea of the gauntlet match, and I like the idea of Daniel Bryan not winning it, because originally I said if he tears through all of these people and wins this, I'm not going to be a happy man. Or if he ends up with just The Miz already, I'm not going to be a happy man. They didn't do any of that, so that's good. We'll be back here Sunday, and we will be answering your questions, folks. We are going to have our We Got Mail show on Sunday. Should be interesting. We'll see you then.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.